DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB.
We are recording.
Welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. This is Happy KB, your host. And guess what? We have an interview podcast today, which is exciting because I haven't done it for a while. In the hot seat, we have Lufus-san. We've had him with us before, and he was so eager to come back and sit down and have a chat with me. We have him back in the hot seat. So tell me what's been going on with you since we last chatted.
Hey. So in the last year or so, I've gone to rehab. I worked at two different Taco Bells. haven't done very many psychedelics, but I've done a little bit of mushrooms, and I recently had a DMT cart.
Nice. Those are psychedelics, so you've done probably more than most have that probably listen to this. And
yeah, more than some, less than others. I've been trying to be reasonable and responsible with my use recently.
Why? I mean, that's a good thing. What's the reasoning? What's the reasoning? If there is one.
I tended to overdo it in the past.
And what happens when you would overdo it?
Not the best trips and not the best lasting results from it.
Yeah, I understand that. I do agree that if you overuse and use too much, that they can turn on you. Because we know that they are a tool, and those tools need to be respected and used in the manners that they are there for. And we get a little overindulgent. Like every time anybody first learns how to extract, I know we all sit there and we hit as much as we possibly can to see how far we can actually blast and how trippy it can actually be. And then we all realize that it's really only a 15-minute adventure unless you put some extra things in there. But what happens if we keep trying, it eventually stops working. And that's when you know that the spirit's molecule has at this point in time said no more. It's you're overdoing it. So no, I totally get it. You have to learn some restraint when it comes to doing the substances. Of course, that's with any drug. That's with all drugs. And then that's how the addictive drugs really get to you, because we get to the point where we just keep doing them and we abuse them, and it gets us in a crazy mess. So let's talk about rehab. Where did you go, if you can tell me?
So the first one I went to was just like your typical rehab, like a 30-day inpatient program.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately after, I did 15 days at it's called a partial hospitalization. So half the time we were at houses, and the other half the time we were at the actual rehab. And okay. I feel like it did me a lot of good.
What did you go to rehab for?
Supposedly just alcohol and weed. Those are really the only things that I did. But officially.
Okay. I gotcha.
But I mainly did it more for my mental health, honestly.
Did it work? Did it help?
It did. It was tremendously beneficial. As you know, I've struggled with hearing voices in the past.
Yes,
and I haven't heard voices since that first day in rehab, that first night in rehab. As I was falling asleep, I heard the voices start chattering. And then one of them said, "There's a lot of other people in here," and then click, like a radio, it turned off. And I fell asleep, and I had a really good night's sleep, and I haven't heard like distinct voices since then. I'll get like a whisper or two here and there, but that's it.
There's a phrase I
picked up in there. The opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that applies to mental health too.
Absolutely. Yep. So you went to two different places. Why two different? Like, which one did you go to first?
The inpatient one. I just thought I'll do it again. But then 2 weeks into the second one, I got really homesick and I came home.
Oh, and so then you were able to do it kind of like an outpatient. Right?
The second one was kind of like an outpatient since we were staying at like halfway houses half the time.
Okay. And your parents were just like, yeah, let's
put you... That was a dual diagnosis, so it was for mental health and addiction.
Interesting.
And there were some rougher sorts of people there. It wasn't the same vibe as the first one.
Right.
So that's why I didn't complete the program.
Hmm. But you completed the first one.
Yes, I did, and I got a silver coin.
Was the first one specifically for substances?
Addiction, yeah.
What was
you the see difference? So many?
Go ahead.
You see so many people with like really hardcore problems in those types of places, like heroin addiction, meth addiction. Way more serious than my little baby addiction to alcohol that I had at the time. But everyone was on the same level of like
desperation,
trying to get better.
Desperation to get clean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because heroin can kill you. Meth can ruin your life. Like, and you get hardcore into them and you can't get out of them. Yeah. But just because you say your addiction to whatever your alcohol addiction was, it doesn't take much for things to progress to other things. And we know alcohol is an addictive thing if it's consumed on a massive amount in a religious tinger. And it can take just starting, you know, drinking a little bit here, a little bit there. So maybe going gave you some perspective of what not to do in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And the reason I think the mental health part of it was so much more profound in the first, in the addiction one, and not maybe in the second one, is because of how it was set up. The first one, you were there. You couldn't come and go. You were there. Like, you had to face things. And dealing with addiction puts you in an area in your brain anyways. Whereas if you're doing other things on like the outpatient, or you're going to different houses, or you're going and doing things like that, you're not so fully focused in what the mental part of the addiction is happening. You are more being integrated in a social setting, dealing with the addiction and the mental part of it and how to work through it. So the differences of the two, I'm sure, are quite vast because they're two different types of recoveries that are taking place.
Yeah. And although it was only alcohol and marijuana that I was using at the time that I went in, I was still kind of recuperating from my addiction to Adderall that I had.
I forgot that you used to do Adderall. We talked about that the last time.
Yeah. So even though it had been so long, I think it was like the final break that I needed from that addiction.
Maybe. How long were you gone completely?
How long was I in rehab? 45 days.
45 days. Have you drank since you got out? Honest, yeah, engine.
I'm still drinking and smoking.
Well, why?
I never really planned on quitting.
Okay. So let's say, is it fair to say you went to these rehabilitations for more of the mental aspect of it? Or did you do it to appease maybe the parents?
No. No. My sister encouraged me to go, and that's kind of what got the ball rolling. But I did it largely, entirely for myself.
But we are not stopped drinking.
What's up?
But we haven't stopped drinking. So what was the point of going to the rehabs? I'm not judging. I'm just asking, by the way. Because I don't drink a lot. I'll have wine here and there. And maybe a gin and tonic. But I'm a heavy pothead. So like, it doesn't make sense. I can't understand going to rehab for marijuana, first of all, unless you're just actually trying to break the habit, because it's a habit you can't stop, but it doesn't sound like you actually stopped it. The alcohol, I can understand, but you didn't actually completely quit it. So like
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense from an outside perspective. But I feel like it did me a lot of good.
Well, and that's important. If you felt like you got something out of it, then that's good. You did talk about how the mental part of it is what seemed to be helped more. So have you gone to see a counselor at all? Or have you ever done therapy with anybody outside of like that rehabilitation thing? Have you?
I have a therapist that I talk to once a month.
Oh, good. And
she's great.
And it'd be good. What do you like about therapy?
It gives me an opportunity to vent.
Yeah. Do you not have a lot of people outside of your therapist that you have that type of relationship with?
No. I've just got a couple of close friends.
That's okay.
And I can talk to them about most anything. But what about like talking about my relationship with them? You know, there needs to be like a third party in my life that I can just open up to, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's healthy. That keeps your self balanced. So two Taco Bells, you've worked at two Taco Bells. Did you like working at the Taco Bells?
I liked the first one better than the second one. And I had to quit the second. Well, I felt compelled to quit the second one when they switched over to an AI voice thing that takes people's orders.
Well, this is.
And they wouldn't.
Go ahead.
They wouldn't give me a raise either. They said they only give raises in May. Isn't that weird?
Maybe that's the end of their fiscal year, which means that's the end when they pay everything and they have to do all their things. And then they see where they are at money-wise, if they can allocate for raises. And there's a whole thing that goes into all that stuff.
I've been there for 90 days busting my ass, and I was not happy with it at all.
Does it say somewhere in your agreement of basically your contract to work with them that they were supposed to give you a raise at 90 days?
No, but that's what most places do.
Well, unless it's
stated. I think it's pretty standard.
Well, but unless it's stated in something what you've signed for employment, they don't have to do anything.
I know.
Yeah. It sucks that they didn't give you a raise, but. So what are you doing now?
So I'm currently between jobs.
Mm-hmm.
The next job that I'm hoping to get is at a nursing home. Kind of a fancier type of nursing home where they have a sit-down area for meals.
Nice.
And I saw that they are hiring a waiter on Indeed.
Oh,
and
fun.
I applied there, and the and the interview went really well. And I just have to pass a drug test, which I'm pretty confident that I can do.
Good deal. That's good. Do you like working with older people?
I do.
So where? Yeah. So is it like a cafeteria? Is that what it kind of is? Like a, it's like a dining hall for in the, wherever the retirement home is. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Cool. That's cool.
I've never been a server before.
Well,
I've worked in so many kitchens, but so this will be a first for me.
Are you very personable? Like, are you the type that can go up to people and be like, hey, hi, I'm your waiter. I'm what would, you know, are you that type of person?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, then you'll be perfectly fine. Yeah. That was one of them. I was a waitress and when I lived in Chicago, and it was fun. I liked working in the service industry up in Chicago. Made a lot of money, a lot of people, got to talk to a lot of people, learned a lot about people. You eventually learn how to understand about every language that's spoke in Chicago. You may not be able to speak it, but you can start understanding it. Well, because mm-hmm. you're serving and dealing with all the different types of people. I worked on the Spirit of Chicago when I lived in Chicago. And that was fun because that is a dinner boat that goes out on Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
That was a good time. That was fun to do that. I eventually got to a point where I was what they considered a deck manager. So I would basically just, I didn't have to serve those nights. I was managing the deck. I just had to like walk around, make sure tables were good. I had to meet with the party people who were in charge of the parties. And like, it was fun. That was a good job. I really enjoyed that job. I like that job cool. because we were out on Lake Michigan. So because we were out on Lake Michigan, you were not subjected to the server pay because, you know, servers make so little money when they're actually serving because of tips are supposed to like counterweight that. You work on like on Lake Michigan. You weren't subject to that because it was different because you're on the water. And so we actually got like minimum wage instead of server wages. Blast our tips on top of it. So like when I lived and moved to Chicago, that was the most money I've ever made in my entire life. Like I stayed at that job for a long time because it was good money and we had a good time. It was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then Joe's Crab Shack was my second job that I worked in Chicago. And that was a fun job because I got to wear tie-dye all the time.
Nice.
So, are you going to go to school or doing anything? Have you thought in that direction? I don't know if we talked about that last time.
I've thought about doing English as a second language teaching.
Sure. Okay. Is there programs that you can get into that will help you? Where would you do that? How would you do that? Like, what would that? Could you go to another?
I think you can just like take a class online and in a couple weeks have a certificate.
What can you do with this certificate?
I could travel, or there's positions open for ESL tutors right here in Akron, Ohio, where I'm from.
That's a great idea. You should do that. That's a really good idea. Do you like English?
Thanks. Yeah, I love English.
That's something that you should look into definitely then, because that could be some good money. And especially right now, since we have such a high immigration coming through, you got a lot of people who need to learn how to speak, who want to speak English so they can learn to live in America. So I think that's a really good thing. You should definitely look into that. That's very helpful for us going forward with everything that's going on in our world.
Yeah.
Yep. So are you still doing your art?
Oh, yeah. Anytime that I get anxious or bored, I whip out the pencils and start drawing.
Are you still making your antler stuff and everything?
Yeah.
Have you loaded anything up in the marketplace recently? Any new stuff?
No, I haven't.
I think You need to. I need to see some new stuff so it can be promoted. So if people want to purchase it, they can purchase it from you.
I really should. You know Luke Skywalker?
Yes, I know Luke Skywalker very well.
I'm organizing a trade with him for some of his neutrino mind sludge.
Oh, yes.
His homemade brand of supplements.
Yep.
I was going to trade a couple of antler carvings for a 1 month supply of that.
That's good. That stuff's good. Have you tried it before?
No, I haven't. But he sent me the ingredients list and I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I've tried it. I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think.
What time of the day did you take it?
I took mine in the morning. I took it when I would go to work.
Did it help in the same way that like coffee did?
I didn't get the heartburn that I normally get from coffee. There was alertness. It's different. It's not coffee is kind of like a. I mean, I've been drinking caffeine for a long time, so the way that coffee stimulates is just normal. Like this doesn't stimulate like coffee does. This is more like what I would consider like cocoa does. Have you ever drank that? It's just it wakes up a little bit more of the brain activity. Like you can tell, like your brain is working a little bit different, more stimulated. That's why I would take it when I would go to work. That way I could focus more. And I get very sidetracked when I get work and with doing a whole bunch of other stuff. And when I first got that stuff, I would take it and I could lock into my job and do what I needed to do for my job and get it done and then give me time to do other stuff. So I think it's that, you know, I think you'll like it. I think you'll, I hope you
Heck
see
yeah.
results. Because I don't know. Did you listen to his and my podcast? I think we actually talked about the brain sludge because he rattled off the ingredients on that thing too.
Yeah, there's 13 of them, I believe. One ingredient that stands out to me is curcumin.
Yeah.
Now, why? Curcumin is a monoamide oxidase inhibitor.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited about that. I was actually, like, just days before him and I started talking about it, I was looking up how to extract curcumin from a turmeric
and
to use as a monoamide oxidase inhibitor.
Why?
Because it makes shrooms way stronger.
Oh, when you take it?
Yeah. Like, there's another MAOI called myristicin, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's in nutmeg.
Yes.
And one time I drank a cup of nutmeg coffee and did 5 dried grams in silent darkness, like the Alan Watts thing, and it kicked in like 5 minutes, and it felt like a DMT breakthrough.
Ooh, fun. Have you ever eaten enough nutmeg where you tripped?
No.
I do not recommend people doing it because it's terribly terrible. You have to like the amount of nutmeg you have to actually like put it like ingest is an ungodly amount, and you have to grind it down. You have to grind it down, so you have to eat it in powder form. Well, we didn't do it in capsules. We just ate it, and that was the most horrible experience I've ever had. But I did. I tripped. I can't say that my trip was good. But I can vouch that you can eat enough nutmeg and that you will cause a hallucinogenic trip. So, yeah.
That's good to know. I'm always looking for these for these homegrown techniques.
So yeah, I can vouch that nutmeg will make people trip, but I don't recommend it. It's not a very pleasant experience. Stick with the mushrooms.
Yeah.
So you said you haven't done a lot of substances lately. You said you have done some mushrooms and some DMT. What was your DMT trip like?
So peaceful.
Tell me about
it. At first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like this feeling of like being alone, but not really alone at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some pretty crazy patterns. But as I hit the cart more and more,
Oh, you did this off a cart. That's right. Okay.
I started getting the vibe that we were talking about before, where it was like the substance was saying that's enough for now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the last times that I did it, I hit it in the dark and then laid down on my bed. And it felt like I was getting pelted with Legos.
Oh. Oh, my.
And I heard a woman's voice say, "You'll have to excuse my daughter." And then I heard giggling.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, no. Like, that's enough of that. And I jumped up and turned on the light. It took me like 5 minutes to find the light switch in the dark when I was tripping. But...
Is that the first time you've ever hit off a cart? Is that the first time you ever hit off a cart? Hello? Did I lose you?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry, that was the Wi-Fi.
It's fine, no problem. I said, is that the first time you ever hit off of a cart?
No, a few years ago... I hit it off of a cart, and I didn't really have a good time. I started, having, like, spontaneous movements and talking, and it was really weird, in fact.
Hmm. This one wasn't like that at all?
No. No. Nothing that I wasn't really in control of, which was good, but it wasn't a breakthrough any of the times.
Well, it's a little bit harder to break through with a DMT cart. I'll be honest. And I think it's just because of how in a cart, you only get so much before the pin starts to blink or the... And so I don't think you actually get enough to get a full blast off like you would if you're hitting out of a nail, if you're hitting out of a bowl even. Now,
yeah,
I think
I definitely like powdered form better.
I do too. I personally do too. That's also why I like to smoke out of my Yukon.
Yeah.
Because I would prefer to have a concentrate pen and hit crystal out of that. And because I think you get a better hit. The hardest part about that is learning how to use that tool to get the best hit out of it. Because that's the challenging part of using something like an Evolve Plus or the Globes or anything that is... that doesn't use the liquid, that is just the straight concentrate or the straight crystal into it. But rule of thumb, if you can smoke concentrates out of it, you can smoke DMT out of it. So that should hopefully open it up for people, because we get so many questions about, you know, people when they hear vape, they just automatically now in 2024, we think carts. Because that's just where we're at. And so, like, I think that's what people think. And so when I talk about a vape, I'm not talking about THC cart type vape. I'm actually talking about like my Yukon Evolve Because
vaporizer.
Exactly, because I'm so used to smoking concentrate this stuff that way. I'm not really big. I mean, I don't mind THC carts, but they're not my favorite to just sit and smoke on all the time, because I don't know. I just don't get as high off of.
You prefer flower?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That is my choice, flower. Above anything, even like dabs and stuff, I'll smoke those occasionally, but I don't sit and just rip them, because it's just not the same. I like the flower. I like
it
the
way throws off your tolerance, for one.
Oh, absolutely. If I'm needing to get, like, if I'm having a really bad day or a hard day and I want to get high really quickly, I'll take a dab. If I'm out of weed, I'll take a dab. If I'm, those are probably much times I'll take a dab, but if I'm anything else, I'm smoking flower.
Yeah. Now, when's the last time you did DMT?
It's been a while. Once I moved over here to my parents' house, I hadn't extracted. I have smoked it. I have smoked probably, it's probably been a good, it's been over 6 months, if not longer, since I've smoked it.
What was it like?
When I smoked it the last time?
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was a horrible experience.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was out back. I think it was because my environment where I was at, like I was out back of my house and was very paranoid because my mom and dad were home. And these are not the things I choose like to do when they're home, because I don't want to have to answer questions. I don't want to have to. So yeah. I was out back and I was sitting there and I was hitting my vape pen. And the next thing I remember is there was a cat sitting at my foot and it was like pawing at my foot. And I blasted with this cat there, and this cat became a part of my trip. And
wow.
It felt like everywhere I turn, this cat was there with its claws, and it was trying to like claw at me every which direction I was going.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh. And so as I'm going through this trip, I'm walking around and I can hear something up above me. There's a back door that has a glass door, and I can hear it, and I hear it open, and I hear steps, and I look up, and it was my dad, but it wasn't really my dad. Like, it was this dark creature. And then the next thing he's saying my name, and I come out of this, and I'm standing there looking at my dad. So it was not the best trip, and I haven't tripped since on DMT, because I think I need to not be at the house when I trip.
Yeah, because, for sure.
Right, they're here all the time. Nothing against my parents. I love my mom and dad. In fact, you know, they're really cool about things, but they have specifically asked me not to smoke or do things around their house, which, you know, I'm going to respect them for that.
Yeah.
So I think the next time I trip on DMT, I need to be somewhere other than this house and then try again.
One time I was up all night doing shrooms. Mm-hmm. And I was planning on smoking a bowl of DMT at 4:20 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then my older cousin, who I was living with, who was not cool about anything,
mm-hmm.
She came out at like 4:19. I was sitting there with the bowl of DMT about to smoke it. And thank God she didn't come out at 4:21.
That would have been funny.
That was an interesting trip. I was just sitting on the porch all night watching a thunderstorm.
Oh, nice. While you were tripping on DMT?
Well, I was tripping on shrooms.
Oh, okay.
And I saw like this creature from a very Harry Potter-esque creature. In reality, it was probably a raccoon or something. But I swear it walked across the street and then halfway through the neighbor's yard, and then it was right under this light, and it looked at me and it shook the rain off of it. and it looked like it was like shape-shifting.
Interesting. So more like Fantastic Beasts type animal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It probably did shake the rain off of it because the coat of the raccoon has an oil base on it. So rain just kind of does roll off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it raining heavily?
Really heavily.
Mm. Interesting. So when do you hear about this cafeteria job? After the drug test? Or do you know if you've got the job yet? You just have to take the drug test? Or how does that work? I don't know why I'm sitting here thinking about that. But
somehow within the next week, they're going to let me know when to take the drug test.
Right. And you said you were taking something for to help cleanse out your...
Yeah. So there's this stuff called Serto that's like a jelly ingredient that blocks the THC from your urine for a couple of hours.
Serto. What is in Serto? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Let's see. I don't even know if I can spell it. Is it with an S or a C?
C.
Oh, it's fruit pectin. Oh. That's what it is. It's like fruit pectin. Pectin actually helps. Pectin is in things like Jell-O. Pectin is in hair products. Pectin is in, it's in all kinds of stuff. Pectin's actually really good for the system. Helps with like collagen and things like that. Serto. Yeah. Yes. So, okay. Yeah. This will be good. And how do you take it? You drink it?
Yeah. Like a couple hours before the test.
Nice.
I have 3 packets of it.
You going to drink all 3 of them?
I'm probably going to drink 1 the day before.
Oh, well, yeah. Interesting.
I hear that works.
Who told you to get Serto?
My little brother.
Oh, nice.
Apparently he used it when he was on probation.
Oh, good. Well, good, good. Glad the brother has some good knowledge and information for us. We all need that.
Yeah.
That's funny. One of these days, we're not going to have to worry about it. You know, one of these days, it actually really will be legalized federally. And a lot of us, we'll put it that way, a lot of us won't have to worry about it anymore because it won't be such a big deal. Now, those of us that are sitting in states where it's illegal because the state has decided it needs to be illegal, I'm not sure how that's really going to work. In that retrospect, I haven't wrapped my brain around all that yet, but I'm hoping Kansas legalizes before federal. That would be nice, but I don't know if that'll happen. I feel Kansas will be one of the last ones to ever like even get remotely close to where we need to be for legalization. And I think recreation is even further down the line, which doesn't make sense to me because every of the states around us are all legal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And you're not legal, right? Where you're at?
No, Ohio is.
Ohio? Oh, that's right. They just became legal.
Yeah.
And they're both medical and recreational, yes?
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, that's just... See, I can drive an hour away from me and go pick up some pot if I really wanted to. Kansas City's not that far.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, though. Kansas is just a little behind everything. They have some old thinking heads that are running our legal stuff that needs to happen. Although we do have a guy in our community who is helping in the fight to legalize at least medical marijuana. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel like we're getting very far in anything lately. I guess we'll see what happens after the election, won't we? Medically legal? Do what?
You guys aren't even medically legal?
Oh, heck no. Nope. We are illegal all the way. We just barely have hemp legal here. Barely, like maybe 3 years ago. So like CBDs and stuff like that, like we haven't had those. Yeah, we're very much in the past, in the dark when it comes to legalization of cannabis. Which, you know, whatever, we still do it old school here.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange, but it's just how it is. I mean, it is. And if you get pulled over with it, you know, it's just a misdemeanor and stuff, just a fine. So it's not like.
And that's good.
Yeah, anything under an ounce is just a misdemeanor, which is that. Yeah, that's okay. I mean, that means it's decriminalized at least. But yeah, no, we're not legal yet. They don't find a necessity for it. You can cite all the.
I hope it happens sooner than later.
Well, me too. They don't find a necessity for it. Even if you cite all the medical things that it can help with, even if you talk about all the things that it can, like, it can take the place of, it can, they don't care. They don't see a reasoning. And that's one thing I always tell my friend, you know, until you give them a reason, they're not going to even look at the possibility of legalization because it's not worth their time right now. It's, you know, you can flash on, they don't find a reason. And so my one friend, he's a little, you know, he is a little bit on the lefter side of things. And so he comes from it from that point of view and doesn't pull in the other side and look at it how we need to approach it from the other side of it. Because coming from the one side isn't going to do it. They're not listening. You have to come at it from a different side. And that's why I say we have to give them a reason to want to have legalization. Like, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't, or at least want medical, because there's enough data out there that proves the things that marijuana can do for us, our health, period. So it's asinine, and I don't understand why they can't see why we need to at least open it up for medical. Now, we should know, and they should be aware that we are now what's called the sober age. We have less people drinking now than we have ever had since we started with prohibition. So we're not drinking. We're not consuming that. We're not smoking cigarettes like we used to either. So I don't know why we don't get on the, well, see that, but that's just it. Because we're not doing these things, I really think this in some people's eyes is what giving, in Kansas at least, or in people who think like some of the Kansans do here, the demonization of cannabis is it's now the thing that people are consuming and over consuming. And I think that's where our legislature sits and says, oh, this is still bad because this is now the drug of choice. It's not the alcohol, it's not the tobacco, this is now the drug of choice. When you've got other states and other people are looking at going, this is what we need to be doing because we're not doing these other things anymore. Which, me personally, I'd rather smoke than drink. We know nobody's ever died from smoking pot. I mean, things like that. So I mean, of course, I don't like the bad rap on tobacco itself that we have demonized through cigarette smoking, because we know the tobacco plant itself has a lot of good properties in it that help in different things, especially in our bodies and our health wise. But because we in rituals and ceremonies, tobacco is used for all kinds of things. You know, if you take tobacco helps ward against parasites and things and things like that. We had a cat who had she gotten worms, and one of the things that one of my friends who was from the reservation told me, he's like, take a cigarette and like put it like in peanut butter, you know, like the inside of the tobacco, and put it in like peanut butter or something, have her eat it. And those, it would create such a toxic an environment that the parasites can't live in her stomach. And she would basically just kind of poop them out. And sure, shit, that's exactly what happened. The tobacco plant itself has been used and abused and demonized because of our cigarette industry, because the way that we've treated the tobacco plant, the way that we've utilized chemicals on it to make it more addictive. To, I mean, the chemicals is what's causing the cancer. It's not the tobacco.
And the accelerants. They put accelerants on them, too, to make them burn faster.
Right. Well, heck, our filters alone, when there's fiberglass, when it stated there was fiberglass that used to be used in some of the cigarette filters, I don't know that if that's a fact or not, but that's what's been always been stated. But just the stuff that we're utilizing for the filters alone to filter out these, what are we filtering? The tobacco, the chemicals? Like, what are we? I loved smoking. I'll smoke off and on. If I'm around somebody who has a cigarette and they offer, I'll smoke it. I like smoking cigarettes. I've always liked smoking cigarettes. When I lived,
I normally vape. But I just smoked a cigarette this morning at church.
Well, that's okay. The thing is, yes, it's the chemicals and the things that are additives in them is even more addictive. Now, I do believe tobacco itself does have an addictive property to it because of the way what tobacco does to the system. But I think we've demonized this plant, and we've made it to where even utilizing tobacco itself is looked down upon. And I think that's very shameful because there are a lot of other properties that this plant can be used for, especially holistically. And because it's been through the ringer with the tobacco, the cigarettes and all that different stuff, that I think it's going to be very hard to get a positive light on that plant back into people's eyes. Which is unfortunate, very unfortunate. So I don't know. I just wish the tobacco industry, the cigarette tobacco industry, would let go of that tobacco plant. But that's how they all made money, mm-hmm. and that's how they all addicted us to smoking cigarettes. So whatever. When I lived in Chicago,
I'm hitting my vape right now.
When I lived in Chicago. I moved there as a Marlboro Light smoker, and I found that it was very hard to smoke Marlboro Lights in Chicago because of the humidity factor. I would wake up and have this terrible lung butter, like, you know, the stuff that's in your lungs that you cough up, that's like that thick mucousy yucky crap that's kind of discolored from all the cigarettes you smoked the night before. So we switched to the brand Winston's because they were not they were more of a natural processing. They didn't have all the chemicals and stuff in it. And so I switched the Winston lights, and I loved those. I loved those. And then we moved back here, and I started smoking cigarettes from the Res. Don't even know what they were, but they were cheap.
Wow.
That's all I know. And the day that my son woke me up, and he's sitting on my bed and he's crying. And he says, "Mom, I had a dream. I had a bad dream about you." And I said, "What was your bad dream?" And he said, "I had a bad dream that you died. And he died because of sewer smoking." I quit smoking cigarettes that day.
Wow.
Like hardcore smoking, like buying packs of cigarettes and smoking them what I was maybe smoking a pack and a half a day at that point in time. So I don't buy cigarettes anymore. I smoke them occasionally if they're around, but I don't buy and smoke cigarettes anymore.
Good for you.
Yeah. But I really enjoy smoking cigarettes. I like the ritual part of like packing the pack and like opening the foil. And like back in the day, because I can say that because of my age, we used to turn over the Lucky cigarette. I don't know. Are you old enough to even know that?
Oh, yeah. I still do that.
You still turn a Lucky? We know. Nobody ever knows why we did that. But yeah, we turned that Lucky over. Smoking a cigarette off of a lit match is one of my favorite things to do because I like the way that the sulfur tastes in the cigarette when you're taking that first hit. I don't know why we're talking about cigarettes. I was talking about tobacco.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. My earphones are all interesting in my ears. So your Wi-Fi is holding up, it sounds like. You've only kind of went in and out a couple times, kind of wah, wah, wah. But I think that kind of like is an added effect, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yep. So if people want to get a hold of you on Discord, what is your Discord name so they can find you?
Mr. Knife Guy 420.
Okay. That way, if they go and they get curious about you and they go and find you on DMT World, which is under Luffy-san, you have stuff in the marketplace, don't you? I want to make sure people know that you have stuff in there.
I might have taken it down.
Okay, we'll post some more stuff in there when you have a chance.
Okay, I will. Yeah.
That way, if people are interested in looking at some of the stuff that you're doing, that then they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. So what are you going to be doing besides hopefully working at this retirement center? Do you have anything else planned? Any shows or anything that you're wanting to, you're going to work on or... It's okay if you say no, I don't have anything planned, just so you know that.
I might visit my sister in Ireland.
Oh. How long has she lived in Ireland?
4 years.
What'd she go to there for? What did she go there for? Yeah.
Her husband is from there, and she moved there when they got married.
Oh, that's awesome. Does she have any children? Does she have any children?
Yeah, she does. She has 4 kids.
Oh. Nice. So when are you possibly going to go see her?
This December, if I do.
Very nice. Ever been there before?
No, I've never been out of the country.
I've never been out of the country either. Where have you traveled in the country?
I've been to Missouri, Wisconsin, the East Coast, like Virginia. Farthest south I've been is Georgia. So I've basically been all over the Eastern Seaboard.
Okay.
Never farther west, though, than...
What is your... How old are you?
25.
Oh, you still have a whole life ahead of you.
Yeah.
25. When's your birthday?
February 27th.
What's your sign?
Pisces.
Very good. What's your Chinese zodiac, do you know?
Year of the Rabbit.
Nice, look at you. You got it all pinned down. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, well, it looks like we've been on and doing this for almost an hour. So we're just going to kind of wrap it up here. So this is that time of the podcast where I ask you, if you have anything to say to the community or if you have the opportunity to, what would you say to everybody that's listening to the podcast right now?
Just thanks for listening and stay trippy and awesome. And much love, Buddy Josh. Buddy Josh is like one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah, I enjoy him. He's fun. He's been with
AKA us. AKA Booming right. Booming Shroomer.
He's been with us for quite some time. And even when he leaves, he comes back. Well, cool. Well, I'm so glad that you got to sit down and interview with me today. It's been a while since I've had anybody in the hot seat. So I'm glad that you tapped in and said, hey, let's do this. So with that being said, I hope everybody enjoyed this interview with Luffy-san. And with that being said, keep ascending, friends.